Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Dan Pacella, lead investigator, Orange County, New York Paranormal, and thank you for joining us again. Every week, we're getting more and more people tuning in and watching, and it's fantastic. So those of you who've been with us, been listening, thank you so much for the support. If you're new to the festivities, please subscribe, rate, and review. We're on every major podcast platform there is. There is also a video version of this on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. So if that's how you prefer to tune in, follow us, subscribe to us there, and leave a comment. Let us know what you thought. And, when you hit that subscribe button on YouTube, also, if you click that little bell, you'll get notified whenever we post a video, whether it be an episode of the podcast or one of our investigation videos. And 'tis the season where we're releasing those fairly regularly. So it's great to be interacting with so many people. And with that said, let's move on to today's subject. So today we wanted to talk about something that we get asked a lot. We do a lot of events, a lot of lectures, and we get a lot of comments on videos and a lot of interaction through social media, which is great. We love meeting new folks. We love answering questions. But one of the questions we get a lot has to do with why we investigate at night. And is it because, do we find it scarier to investigate at night? And I find that to be such a fascinating question, because if you turn on your television or go over to YouTube and watch any of the literally thousands of places that you can see paranormal investigations, there's a pretty common thread amongst them, and that is that it's filmed in night vision, whether it be the purplish or pinkish hue of full spectrum, which is both ultraviolet light and IR light, or just the usual black and white looking infrared vision of night vision. But why? Why do the vast majority of paranormal investigations happen at night? Well, there are a couple of reasons for it. First of all, understand going in, paranormal activity, it happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Spiritual energy doesn't rest, it doesn't need a nap, it doesn't require sleep. There are a lot of interesting things associated with different times of the day. A lot of stories related to the witching hour, which is between 3 and 4 a.m. and this taboo, this idea that there's more spiritual activity between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And that actually, that thought dates back to the 1500s, actually. The Catholic Church actually deemed that time span as evil and forbade activities during it. The reason they decided that 3 to 4 a.m. was an evil time of day was that they believe that Jesus Christ had been crucified at 3 p.m., and this was the inverse time of that. So this concept of a witching hour between 3 and 4 dates back all the way back to the 1500s. Although the term itself wasn't really recorded in any writings until the 1700s. And ever since, the reputation of that time of day has become more sinister. It's become, connected with demonic entities and negative spirits. It's also said to be the time of the day when the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest. And while many investigators do seem to report more activity starting around 3 a.m., in our personal experience, which is obviously a very, very small sample of the whole, we really haven't found that. We haven't been able to conclude either way. For us, paranormal activity seems to be pretty much of a constant. And we really haven't seen anything to conclude in either way, whether the energy peaks or valleys during that time of day. So why does that time of day continue to have such a reputation, continue to be such a thing, the witching hour concept in not only pop culture, but in the minds of many people? Why do people report waking up between 3 and 4 a.m. with a sense of foreboding and dread? And there have been some theories put forward as to why that is. One of the most prevalent ones states that given the average time that most people fall asleep, your body is actually in its deepest stage of sleep, that REM sleep, during those hours. So if you wake up for any reason from the deepest part of sleep, you're going to be coming back to consciousness from a much deeper place, making you feel way more disoriented and than you would at any other time of night. And with that disorientation can come a heavy feeling, can come a feeling of not knowing where you are, can come a feeling of blurred vision or seeing a room darker than it needs to be. And that's one of the more interesting theories I find as to why people sometimes have that feeling of when they wake up that it's extra dread during that time. It's just your body is coming from a further place internally from sleep to awake. But it's not only the time. There are mystical effects that also get attached to the moon, along with many of the spiritual beliefs that go along with how the full moon affects the mind and the body. There is the very real impact the full moon has. It has energy. And simply put, during a full moon, there is just simply more electromagnetic energy in the atmosphere than usual. And in theory, that should elevate spiritual activity the same way that a thunderstorm does. You know, on investigations, we often use electromagnetic pumps to, you know, fill the room with the same kind of energy that a full moon creates by itself to elicit responses. So the moon is sort of a natural EM pump that happens every 29 and a half days, the full moon anyway, to help elicit more paranormal activity. So a lot of the legends that are associated with the moon, there actually is a scientific concept that a full moon does lead to a higher degree of paranormal activity. However, despite the effects of whatever the witching hour does or the actual energy effects of the full moon, that is not why you see most paranormal investigations happening at night. Is it because the nighttime is scarier than the daytime? Not a chance. I mean, true paranormal investigators aren't doing this because they want to scare. If you want to scare, try a haunted house or a fun house or a horror movie. It's way easier and way less costly than investigating the paranormal for one. I always maintain that investigating actually isn't that scary. I mean, most of the time, nothing is happening at all. Just recently, this past week, we're investigating these Seneca Falls Historical Society. I sat on a staircase in front of a checkerboard for 2 hours, and I haven't looked at the footage yet. Nothing earth-shattering happened. Maybe something happened the camera caught, but still, most of the time you are sitting there, there is nothing going on around you. It's fine. We love it. It's exhilarating for us, but for most people, would probably be bored by it. It's why it takes 10 hours to 20 hours of investigation for a paranormal television show to put on a 42-minute show. So it's not particularly for the scare. Now, I should point out that we do our ghost hunt events at night for the added atmosphere. When people come to a ghost hunt event, they want that sense of fear and anxiety which the darkness gives. They want to feel inside the moments that they see on television or online and have fun doing it. And that's perfectly fine. There is a huge difference between a paranormal investigation and a ghost hunt event. They are two very different things and must be done completely differently. And ghost hunt events at night, we find, get a lot more attendance and a lot more participation and a lot more interest than ones during the day because of that, because the nighttime is a little bit more atmospheric for paranormal investigations. But it has nothing to do with why we actually do it at night. Now, I'm not saying the nighttime isn't creepy. Most of the time when we get creeped out looking at evidence, it's in the review. It can give you a chill when you hear a voice or something that was in the room with you you weren't able to see or hear at the moment. But the overall experience isn't frightening. It's exhilarating from a standpoint of gathering evidence and trying to understand what's going on around us. But we're doing a job, and we're focused on the job, and we're focused on the mission for that night. So even when something unexplained happens, it's actually more fascinating than it is frightening. Everybody reacts a lot differently to things when they happen. I remember at Miss Fanny's Victorian Party House, very early in our Orange County paranormal days, a stuffed animal, I believe it was a squirrel, flew off the table when we were in the room. And I responded, I'm pretty sure, by just laughing and saying, if that's what we're going to have here, you and I are going to get along just fine, to the spirits. So it was definitely more fascinating. I was more interested in trying to prove that it wasn't the vibration of the floorboards that made it fall than I was, freaked out that I was standing in a dark room with an entity that had the kind of energy to do that. Honestly, if we investigated during the day, there'd be a lot fewer incidents of tripping, falling, and bumping into things. You never get used to it. You never get used to walking around in the dark. To this day, it's very hard to walk to the light of a camcorder. Now, we're never in total darkness. Most places there is ambient light. We use flashlights. I do not understand these folks who don't want to go in with any light at all. I mean, a flashlight is for your safety. We'd also get a lot more sleep if we investigated during the day because, you know, this is a late night activity. Darkness happens at night. I'm not breaking any news there. But, you know, we end up with a lot of late nights and a lot of, you know, late bedtimes. And the paranormal hangover is real. It takes a lot of energy because your senses are on high alert the entire time. So you're exhausted afterwards. And I'd love to get to bed at, you know, 11 p.m. instead of 4 a.m. And if we, you know, but investigating at night, we have to investigate when it's dark. And so why don't we do this during the day? And it's interesting. There's a lot. The main reasons for it are actually all really practical. For folks like us, and I've said this in the past, we are what you would call a scientific paranormal group, and that term's problematic for many reasons. Go back a couple episodes about definitions, and I discuss why that term can be problematic. But terms aside, what it means is we are solely an equipment-based group. We don't rely on psychics. We don't have one. None of us have that gift or curse, and you know. We use tools, we use recorders, we use cameras, we use every kind of paranormal equipment that we have found to be valid. We don't do rituals, we don't conduct seances, it's all just that equipment, and it's cameras, and it's recorders, and it's other equipment that is designed to communicate with the paranormal realm and or beyond. And most of that equipment is modded, especially the cameras, to be able to see in infrared, ultraviolet, and in some cases, both. Our minds and our eyes can't see into those spectrums, so we need the cameras to see them for us. And that's why most of the investigation videos you see from us and from anyone are either going to be in black and white, which is that night vision, or a purplish and pinkish hue, which is a full spectrum. So the camera can see into those things. And it can do this during the day as well, you know, but again, for a very practical reason, it is so much easier to ascertain what you're seeing when you're reviewing it when you do the investigation at night. And why? Well, the world is a much brighter place during the day because of the sun. The sun is the giver of life and the ruiner of paranormal evidence. Think about what your living room looks like during the day, or whatever room you're in, or if you're driving, what your car looks like during the day. There's light from the sun, whose position is constantly changing as the day goes on. The light causes reflections off the glass in the windows, off every tabletop in your house, every single car that drives by, not to mention the shadows from clouds and trees and everything else that is out there. Every single thing that casts a shadow, every little reflection. I mean, when we're reviewing evidence, we actually stop the camera and back up for every little tiny little shadow and thing. It would take us 1,000 years to review evidence if we had to account for all of those factors that are simply caused by the sun, the ruiner of evidence. And also keep in mind that the visual phenomenon that we're actually looking for are pretty quick, too. And man, when it's during the day, a car driving by can absolutely look like a light anomaly if the light hits it the right way. And it makes, as I said, it makes it a complete nightmare. Remove the element of the sun, however, and most of that goes away. The less ambient light you can have around your investigation, the better. And you actually have a shot of being able to debunk or being able to say, hey, I can't explain what this is. This may be paranormal. Day investigations are very hard because of that, because the sun just, and not even if the sun, even a cloudy day, to an infrared or a full spectrum camera, even the cloudiest day is the brightest thing that you can see. And not only is it about light, but the world is so much quieter at night too. I mean, our cameras and recorders, they're really, really sensitive, and they pick up everything around them. I tell this story a lot. Our digital recorders are so sensitive that if you are outside and it is raining while you're recording, you can hear each individual raindrop hitting the recorder. That's how sensitive these things are. The cameras are exactly the same way. So it's just quieter at night. At night, there are fewer cars driving by. That's the bane of my existence. I review all the video evidence, and you know, a lot of the places we investigate, even at night, you can't stop traffic. There's cars driving by. A lot of the places we go are downtown. We've been investigating in downtown Lyons, New York. We've investigated in downtown Cobleskill. And while this is not Manhattan-level traffic, you aren't going to stop it. I actually am very good now at identifying in the audio bar of our camera feeds what a car driving by looks like, because it happens all the time. But it's not just the cars. There are fewer neighbors mowing their lawns, fewer phones ringing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The quieter you can get the atmosphere around your investigation, the less contamination you're going to have from noise pollution. EVPs are quiet. They're usually whispers. So removing any of that congestion of sound and that contamination absolutely makes the review process so much more easier and so much more accurate. And on top of that, I mean, for a group like us, we investigate a lot of businesses and a lot of museums, and they would much prefer to not turn away paying customers during the day either. They would rather us come in at night to do it when they're not worried about customers, when they don't have to, when it doesn't affect their business, because, you know, a haunted business is still a business. We're going to do an interview down the road here about running paranormal businesses, which is a fascinating topic. But again, you don't want me walking around with a camera trying to talk to a spirit while somebody's trying to shop. Some people would be very turned off by that, and also some people would be so interested in it that it would contaminate your investigation. So, you know, it's just so much easier to do all of this when customers are out of the way, when the traffic is done, when the lawns are done being mowed, when the sun is down, and you can actually have as controlled and quiet of an atmosphere as possible. You want it to be calm, because the only way you're going to pick up any of the paranormal evidence is what disrupts that calmness. What is a light going across a room that cannot possibly be a headlight? What is a sound that cannot possibly be a customer? That's what you're looking for. So it is interesting that in a field full of mysticism and spiritualism, the reason we investigate at night is actually a practical one. Everything works better for us in the dark, from equipment being able to function to locations being free of light and noise pollution. And it turns out that, you know, even though paranormal evidence is happening all the time, the time you choose to investigate it can make a huge difference in the kind of evidence and kind of footage you're going to capture and the quality of the paranormal evidence. The biggest thing when trying to get paranormal evidence, especially for a group like us where we publish everything we find, is, you know, your biggest fear is putting something out there that is very obviously not paranormal. I mean, you know, when you're a paranormal group that publishes, I mean, somebody is always accusing you of faking it anyway. It's night and day. It's going to happen every single time. It's going to happen. But you know, it's we try to be as accurate as possible. And when you investigate at night, when you have that controlled atmosphere, as I've been talking about, you can have that. So it's interesting that, you know, of all the times to investigate, you might say the difference between when you investigate and the quality you'll get is night and day. So I just want an update on Orange County Paranormal, what we have going on. And it's interesting. I just talked about night and day and the benefits of investigating at night. The night's also a little cooler, which can come in handy. We were just at the Seneca Falls Historical Society, and they messaged us the day of that they were having an issue with their air conditioner, which just is lovely when you investigate in June in a 19th century brick building. So, it's a little cooler at night. Not much cooler, but a little bit cooler at night, especially if you do a lot of your investigating in the summer months like we do. So, nighttime is not only sometimes better for evidence, but sometimes better for the investigators, too. In the winter, it gets really cold, but temperature could be something on a personal note that keeps you. I always say, as a paranormal investigator, you're always either too hot or too cold. You are never actually comfortable. But we were just at the Seneca Falls Historical Society. It was great to be back there. They have a great staff, and we very much have enjoyed. This is our third year in a row investigating there, and we usually don't do three consecutive years at a place just to kind of give it a rest, but they reached out and said, hey, do you guys want to come back? And we said, sure, yeah, absolutely. And it's great up there. Rhea and Margo joined us up there. And what's interesting is when you investigate a place for the third time, you really get a feel for it. Like at this point, we have a collection of evidence that we know where we have found things. We know where our experiences have been. And that's really helpful, especially when we live in a world where not a lot of paranormal teams seem to publish their evidence. So a lot of times that database, I talked about this in a previous episode, where Emily is trying to research it, we can't find anything that leads our investigation to take that next step. Well, when you've investigated a place, you know, two times prior, you have your own body of evidence to go back to. So it's nice to build off of that. And we tried a couple of new things. There's a staircase there where there's checkerboards built into the landings that the Becker children, to get them to go to bed, the parents would allow them to play checkers as they went up the stairs. And as I said earlier, I spent about 2 hours on one of those landings trying to start a checkers game with one of the kids. And it was interesting. Some things I haven't had a chance to review it yet, and we'll talk more about this investigation as we review it. But it was a quiet 2 hours, but it didn't feel quiet around me, if that makes any sense. So, that was a really good investigation. And while I did that, because we knew where the hotspots were, Emily, Rhea, and Margo went around the rest of the house and really tried to enhance the story. Because that's really what you're trying to do when you investigate a place multiple times is, you know what, this is a great story, but I want to know more. Because we always leave these locations with way more questions than we have answers. And there are some places that we've never gotten to go back to. And this is a location in the Seneca Falls Historical Society that we've been very fortunate that they are not only interested in the paranormal evidence, they're interested in the story, and they also are interested in enhancing it and understanding the spirits with whom they share their space. But whether in darkness or in light, paranormal activity is happening around us all the time. It's the equipment, the world itself, and the atmosphere of the world itself that work better for paranormal investigators after the sun has gone down. It can lead to bumps, it can lead to bruises, it leads to lack of sleep. But for us, all of that is pretty normal. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.